Domestic violence, sadly, is very common. It accounts for between 16 and 25% of all reported crime in the UK. If you consider that most cases of domestic violence remain unreported, the real number's probably much higher. Research shows that domestic abuse mostly affects women. In the UK alone, one in four women will experience some form of domestic violence in their lifetime. Domestic violence also affects children, men, and elderly people alike, and it's extremely important to raise awareness of this issue. We've recorded a series of podcasts examining the realities of domestic abuse, as personal stories often speak louder than statistics. Today, we talk to a man whose sister and nephew were tragically murdered in a shocking case of domestic violence.
My name's Frank Mullane. I'm the brother of Julia Pemberton and uncle of William Pemberton, who were murdered 18th of November 2003, 6.5 years ago.
Were there any indicators that might have happened?
There were indicators. 14 months before these murders, Alan Pemberton, Julia's husband and William's father, threatened to kill my sister. This needs to be seen in the context of coercive control. It was a 22-year marriage, remember. At that time, I didn't know what coercive control meant, but I do now. What we are talking about is a set of controlling behaviours over time. So there's a great deal of control going on here. What happened was that Julie came to see me and said, "Frank, it's got too much. I will be asking for a divorce." When I ask for a divorce, Alan will threaten to kill me, and he's capable of carrying out that threat. That's what she told me. Now, that's quite a lot to take in when you don't, you know, murders happen elsewhere, don't they? But anyway, Judy did say to Alan that she wanted a divorce. Well, his response initially was to ignore her for several days. I mean, this is how the marriage was. Remember that he withdrew access to money for my sister, and there were two children. She would always keep a £10 note in her purse for that reason, and the car full of petrol. So he would withdraw access to money. He would then ignore her. Remember, there are two children in the house, and Judy's trying to correct the situation for it to be normal. She would have to go to him, beg forgiveness for something that she hadn't done in order to correct that situation.
Did she tell you whether that had been going on since the word go in the marriage?
Alan had made death threats before, which was news to us, of course. And in fact, Judy had threatened to leave him before, but he had begged forgiveness and cried. Now, these are classic patterns. When Judy did ask for the divorce, Alan again started to ignore her for a set of days. Imagine this kind of simmering atmosphere in the house. And then on the Friday evening, he called her into the room. He made a deal. He said, "I'm going away for a few days. When I come back, you have a decision to make. We will live as man and wife for a set period of time, after which I will decide," this is Alan, "I will decide whether it's working. Otherwise, and this is fact, otherwise I will take my life, I will take your life. The kids will be orphans. So the deal is, either you do what I say or I'll kill you."
Was it still, though, that extreme? Was that still a surprise?
Well, you've got to remember, I think it's a surprise to anybody to believe that murder's going to happen. But I do remember saying to my sister at that time, "I will believe everything you tell me." And I did, but I did it as a kind of an obligatory feeling that I had to do it. Certainly, clearly I wasn't taking this on board. It's so important to be aware of loads of risk factors, you know, there. But I was uneducated. I was my sister's protector, but unfortunately for her, I was uneducated in that. So we contacted the police, which of course is what we should have done. They're the professionals, aren't they? They save your life. They intervene to protect the public, so I'm told. So we contacted the police, but we could not engage them. That first weekend, Alan made the threat on a Friday night. We believe he went away the next morning for 4 days, although we couldn't prove that. We thought, well, maybe he's coming back tonight to finish off the case. So that Friday evening, when Alan made the threat, Julie managed to find a few minutes away from him where she could phone me, but I was out and I didn't have an answer phone. The following morning, Saturday morning, when he did leave, we think to go away, Julie phoned me and told me the story, and I got straight over there. And the first thing I said was, why didn't you ring me last night? She tried for that few moments, but she said I couldn't persist in calling you because he would have killed me. She was that certain. So what I found difficult to comprehend, or what really knocked me against the wall, was that my sister believed she was going to be murdered that evening, but was unable to call me to help save her. That was the fear that Alan had been capable of inflicting on my sister. That's total, that's completely total, total fear. And that hit me against the wall, mentally knocked me against the wall when I appreciated the level of that fear. William died trying to stop his father getting to kill his mother, for which he received a bravery award. Julie, thank God, doesn't know what's going on outside, but hearing the shots calls the police and retreats to a room in the house, like a storeroom. It's quite a large room. And that phone call is 16 minutes long, during which he receives assurances of immediate assistance from the police. But the advice given by the call handler, the advice and information given by the call handler, is not borne out in reality. The police are not, in fact, on their way. They go to a rendezvous point in time, and then they make plans about when they would enter the house. They didn't actually enter the house for nearly 7 hours after the beginning of that 999 call. So Julie would have had to stay alive for a long time.
If you've been affected by anything you've heard in this podcast, please visit our website, www.cedar.uk.net, for further information and resources. If you need help now, please call the National Domestic Violence Helpline on 0808 2000 247. That's 0808 2000 247 for confidential and professional support.